Smell it before you see it. That's how it usually starts. Not flames, not an alarm. Just a smell. Hot plastic. Something electrical, sharp and wrong, riding in on the vents while you're straight and level and everything on the panel looks perfectly normal. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about one of the scenarios that scares experienced pilots more than an engine failure. An engine failure, at least, is quiet and honest. It tells you exactly what it wants. An in-flight electrical fire is sneaky. It hides behind the panel. And the checklist to deal with it asks you to do something that goes against every instinct you have, which is to reach up and take away your own electrical system in the middle of a problem. Let's walk through this together. Before we get into it, a quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that actually matter in this thing we do. aviationsoul.com, go take a look. All right, let's set the scene because scenarios stick better than lists. You're at 5,500 feet on a cross country. Nice afternoon, you've got the autopilot on, or maybe your hand flying and enjoying it, and you catch a smell. Faint at first, you think maybe it's outside, maybe somebody's burning brush down on the ground. Then it gets a little stronger, and now there's a thin haze near the top of the glare shield, and you notice the little wisp of gray curling up from behind the panel near the radio stack. Now your heart rate is up, and here's the first thing I want you to understand about this emergency. Time is not your friend, but panic is your enemy. Those two things pull against each other, and the pilots who handle this well are the ones who have already thought about it on the ground. So let's think about it on the ground, right now. First principle. A fire needs three things. Fuel, heat, and oxygen. That's the fire triangle you learned in ground school and probably forgot the second the check ride was over. For an electrical fire, the heat source is electricity. So the single most powerful thing you can do, the thing that attacks the root of the problem, is to remove the electricity. Cut the power, and you cut the heat that's feeding the whole thing. That's why almost every light airplane smoke and fire checklist has the same brutal, simple line near the top. Master switch, off. Say that out loud with me. Master switch, off. Now here's why that line is so hard to actually pull the trigger on, and why I want to spend real time on it. When you turn that master switch off, you're choosing to lose things. In most single-engine airplanes, off goes your electrical fuel pump, if you have one. Off go your radios. Off goes your transponder. Your ADS-B out. Your intercom, most of your lighting, your flaps if they're electric, your pitot heat. And in a lot of modern airplanes, off goes your primary flight display and your navigators. The panel goes dark. That is a genuinely frightening moment. You've got smoke in the cockpit, and now you've blinded yourself, at least electrically. And I think that fear is exactly why some pilots hesitate on that switch. And hesitation is the thing that gets people hurt, because the smoke is the emergency. The dark panel is just inconvenient. Here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training. Your airplane flies just fine without electricity. The engine on most piston singles does not need the electrical system to keep running, because the magnetos generate their own spark. Think about that. You can shut off every electron in the airplane, and the engine keeps humming along because those magnetos are self-contained. The propeller does not care that the panel is dark. Your wings do not care. You can fly this airplane by looking outside by pitch and power all the way to a landing with nothing on the panel but the wet compass and whatever's mechanical. So the master switch is not a doomsday switch. It's a tool, but you have to be willing to use it. Now let's build the actual flow, because I don't want you memorizing a random list. I want you to understand the logic, and then the list takes care of itself. Step 1. Before you touch anything, fly the airplane. Same as every emergency we ever talk about on this show. Airspeed, attitude, wings level. If you're in the clouds, that matters even more. And we'll come back to that. Because losing your electric attitude source in the soup is its own animal. Step 2. If there are open flames and you have a fire extinguisher within reach, use it. Most training airplanes don't carry one, but a lot of the airplanes you'll fly later do, and it should be a halon or a clean agent type mounted where you can grab it with your straps on. Aim at the base of the fire, not the smoke. But understand, for a hidden electrical fire behind the panel, the extinguisher is treating the symptom. The power switch is treating the cause. Step 3. Master switch, off. Attack the source. This is the moment, do it. Step 4. And this is the part people forget. Get the smoke out. An electrical fire fills the cabin with smoke that is genuinely toxic. Burning wire insulation, burning plastic. That smoke will make your eyes water, it'll make you cough, and it can incapacitate you faster than you'd believe. So you need fresh air. Open your fresh air vents. Crack a storm window or a window if your airplane has one that opens. In some airplanes, the emergency checklist will actually have you open a cabin vent or a door slightly. Follow your airplane's book, because the airflow patterns are different in every design, and you don't want to fan the fire either. But the principle is, breathable air first, comfort second. Here's a hard truth. There's a tension between ventilation and starving the fire of oxygen. Some checklists want the airflow to purge the smoke. The prevailing guidance for the smoke itself is to ventilate so you can see and breathe, because a pilot who's blinded and choking can't fly the airplane at all. Know your specific airplane's procedure. Read that section of your pilot's operating handbook this week. Not someday, this week. Step 5. Now you make a decision, and the decision is already made, really. You are landing, as soon as possible, not as soon as convenient. This is not a keep going and see if it gets better situation. An electrical fire, even one that seems to stop after you kill the master, may still be smoldering somewhere you can't see. You want to be on the ground. So let's talk about the landing, because now you've got a puzzle. You've turned off your radios and your navigation. How do you find an airport and get down safely with a dark panel? This is where the preparation you did before you ever smelled smoke pays off. If you fly with awareness, you always have a rough idea of where the nearest airport is. That's not just for fire. That's for engine failure, for weather, for everything. Situational awareness is a habit, not a checklist item. If you knew there was a field 10 miles behind you before any of this started, you already have a plan. Now you're allowed to be smart about that master switch. Here's a technique, and I want to be careful how I say it. Once you've killed the master and the fire is out, if you are in a situation where you truly need a radio call or need the electric flaps for landing, some procedures allow you to consider turning individual electrical items back on, one at a time, carefully, only if the fire is confirmed out and you're monitoring for any return of smoke. That's an advanced move, and it depends entirely on your airplane and your judgment. The default, the safety fault, is stay dark and land. Only reach back into that electrical system if the need is real and the fire is truly out. If the smoke comes back the instant you power something up, you found your culprit, and you turn it right back off and leave it off. You do not need the radio to land an airplane. Read that back to yourself. You do not need the radio to land an airplane. If you can't talk to anybody, you fly to an airport. You look for other traffic, you enter the pattern, you rock your wings, and if it's a towered field, you look for the light gun signals. A steady green from the tower means you're cleared to land. That light gun exists precisely for the airplane that has no radio, and every one of us should know those signals cold. A flashing green is cleared to taxi. A steady red is give way and keep circling. Learn them. And if things are truly bad, if the fire is spreading and you cannot control it, you land the airplane in the best available spot right now. Radio or no radio, airport or no airport. A controlled arrival in a field beats staying airborne with a fire you can't put out. There is no trophy for reaching the airport with a cabin full of flames. Now let me add the layer that makes this genuinely dangerous, and that's doing all of this in instrument conditions. If you're in the clouds and you shut off the master, and your attitude information is electric, you have just handed yourself two emergencies at once, a fire and a partial panel in the soup. This is exactly why I hound my instrument students about knowing where their attitude information comes from and having a backup. A lot of modern airplanes have a small, independent standby attitude indicator with its own battery. Precisely for this reason, some of you fly older airplanes with a vacuum-driven attitude indicator that doesn't care about the master switch at all, which in this one specific scenario is a quiet blessing. Know your airplane. Know what you lose and what you keep when that master goes off. If you don't know, you'll find out at the worst possible time. And if you're an instrument pilot listening, this is your reminder to keep those partial panel skills sharp, timed turns, compass turns, needle ball, and airspeed. The old skills, they feel like a museum piece right up until the day they're the only thing keeping the shiny side up. Let's talk about the airman certification standards for a second, because this isn't just war stories. Systems and equipment malfunctions is a task in the ACS across the certificates, and the examiner is looking for something specific. They want to see that you can analyze the situation, that you don't just blurt out a memorized list, but that you understand what's happening and take appropriate action on your check ride. If the examiner says, "You smell electrical smoke," they are not testing whether you can recite the checklist word for word. They're testing whether you'll fly the airplane first, whether you'll attack the source of the fire, whether you'll get the smoke out, and whether you'll commit to landing. Show them the thinking. Say it out loud. Aviate, isolate the electrical source, ventilate, and get this airplane on the ground. That's a pilot who understands the emergency, not one who memorized a paragraph. And here's a related mistake I see all the time, so let me call it out. Pilots who know the engine failure flow cold, A, B, C, D, E, best glide, all of it, and have never once read the electrical fire section of their own POH. We drill the emergencies that are dramatic and forget the ones that are quiet. Do me a favor this week. Open your handbook to the emergency procedures section and read the smoke and fire pages. Then go sit in your airplane, on the ground, engine off, and physically find the master switch. The individual electrical switches, the vents, and the fire extinguisher if you carry one. With your eyes closed, build the muscle memory. Because when the cabin fills with smoke, you won't be reading, you'll be reaching. Let me give you the takeaways to fly with. 1. The smell comes before the flames. Take it seriously. The instant you notice it, don't talk yourself out of it. 2. Fly the airplane first. Always. The fire does not change that rule. 3. Master switch off attacks the root of the fire, because electricity is the heat source. Be willing to lose the panel. The airplane flies fine without it, and the magnetos keep the engine running. 4. Ventilate. That smoke is toxic, and it will take your vision and your judgment before it takes anything else. 5. Land as soon as possible, not as soon as convenient. And you do not need the radio to land an airplane. 6. Know your specific airplane code. What dies when the master goes off, where your backup attitude source comes from, and whether you're leaving yourself blind in the clouds. None of this is easy, and I won't pretend it is. Learning to fly is hard, it's expensive, and the emergencies are the part nobody enjoys practicing but the pilot who has already made the master switch decision in their head, calmly, on a nice afternoon like this one, is the pilot who makes it cleanly when the cabin is full of smoke. My thanks to the folks at the FAA for the guidance in the Airplane Flying Handbook and the ACS that shapes how we teach this, and to the manufacturers who write those emergency procedures into every POH. Read yours. You can find us at RadioHangar.com. Go read your handbook. Go sit in your airplane and find those switches in the dark. This is Pattern. Fly safe. And I'll see you back in the Pattern.